We're on? Okay, tonight, 8 November, Election Day here in Texas, and Tuesday night, Revelation chapter 5. Got some really good news on prayer, things we've been in prayer about. Don't have good news on our awesome meeting place, and this is getting close to the middle of November, so need to be spiff up your prayers. I think December 1st we'll start thinking about where we can really seriously about where we can meet, and in January, and maybe see if some people will give their homes and some of the things. We'll just see. Okay, first of all, Ryan Wise. Got an email today from Larry, and they did a blood count, and her platelets showed 550,000. So, she said that they said that that was not realistic, not going to stay, and so the real thing will be continual gauging of it, but that was a wonderful reading. Because 300,000 was normal, hers was 50,000, Ryan's was 50,000, but it registered 550,000. Mary White, Pat Hill's mother, Dan Hill's mother-in-law, she's 83, she had surgery yesterday. Surgery was extremely successful. The doctors were so pleased, her bones were strong, and they did not have to go in and operate on the elbow or shoulder. They're going to work on those without any surgery. And they were able to do, I'm not sure to specialize it, but they did not have to do some things on the hip that they normally would have to do. And that's very good because her hip will stay and heal itself. And so they're real pleased. So continue to be in prayer for her continual recovery. Talk to Dan today. Pat's doing much better with that kind of good news. Nathan, the young man in Des Moines, Iowa, is just doing extremely well. So those are three really good reports of things we've been praying for. Vic Edwards called. He's our member of our church in Wichita Falls, Texas. And he requests your prayers in a couple of personal matters. So please bring Vic and Cindy Edwards to the throne of grace and remember them. Please remember, continue to be in prayer for Tish as she goes through some more tests. She'll have some tests tomorrow. So please be in prayer for her and at this time. And any other prayer requests I'm not aware of. And Jim is doing good. Your brother's doing really good. 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 That's good. Okay, let's begin with a word of prayer, orienting ourselves to our study. And move right into our study. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we open the book of Revelation tonight, we pray that your Spirit will open our eyes and ears to the things that you would have us to see and hear and understand in this great book. Father, we pray that this understanding will give encouragement in our souls and in our lives, our marriages, our homes, our work, our friendships, and in this church. Father, I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, Revelation chapter 5, and let's just move right quickly into where we left off last week without too much ado. And we have moved in our study of the doctrine of propitiation and in verse 10 and where or verse 9, worthy art thou to take the book and to break its seals, for thou wast slain and didst purchase for God. And we studied propitiation there with thy blood, doctrine of blood, and then we studied the purchase, doctrine of redemption, and because he has purchased. And then we have the phrase men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. And this is where we left off last week, so I'm not even going to review, go over any of that. Let's just move right where we left off. The reconciliation of man to God, which is what is talked about in that last phrase of every tribe, tongue, and people. reconciliation of man to God through the salvation ministry of Jesus Christ, the basis for removing the barrier between God and man, and at the same time people removing the barrier between man and man, in other words, between believers. It is amazing to me how believers, born-again believers, have the most fundamental cause for forgiving one another, and yet between unbeliever and believers, unbelievers are less likely to forgive and move on than believers are. Unbelievers don't even have a foundation for doing it. They just do it because, well, everybody's wonderful, and that's the whole point. Everybody is not wonderful. But they see a worthiness in man, and so they are more likely to forgive than Christians. Christians talk about it, but they are the least likely to forgive. And I was just talking to a friend of mine today who lives in another city, and how an assembly of believers were so rude and just mistreated her and her family so much. And yet they claim to be wonderful Christians. So you and I have the foundation for forgiveness. It is we are to forgive one another as God has forgiven us in Christ. And so the whole doctrine here, removing the barrier, this understanding also works between us. Now, one of the most extended passages on reconciliation is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 and following, and we have read that, so we will not read that. But let's just quickly look at Colossians chapter 1. Let's do look at Colossians. I have a reason for turning to it. We have read the 1 Corinthians passage, but we have not looked at this Colossians one. So let's take a look at Colossians chapter 1, and I want to read verses 19 through 22 in Colossians chapter 1. And what I want to note here is that Jesus Christ has reconciled all things. Let's read. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in Him, that is, in Christ. Why? So that we might understand His love. That's why. And through Him to reconcile, that is, and through Jesus Christ to reconcile all things to Himself, having made peace through the blood of His cross. And that's what we studied last week when we took up the understanding of the blood and the cross. Through Him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. Verse 21, and although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet He has now reconciled you in His fleshly body through death, that's the blood, that's the cross, in order to present you before Him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. What a powerful statement. And yet believers so mistreat and so unforgiving in regard to one another. All right, so again, be able to see why Jesus Christ is worthy to take the book and to open the book. Verse 9. And they sang, Revelation chapter 5, and they sang a new song, saying, worthy art thou to take the book and break the seals, for thou wast slain, crosswork of Christ, and didst purchase, doctrine of redemption, for God, doctrine of propitiation, with thy blood, Jesus Christ's part, men from every tribe and tongue, people and nation, doctrine of reconciliation. Now we're ready for verse 10. And thou hast made them to be a kingdom and priest to our God, and they will reign upon the earth. Here again, people, we could spend a great amount of time dealing with how the church will reign. First of all, be a kingdom, a priest, and how they will reign on earth. Now, here's the principle I want to start off with. Purchasing mankind, redeeming us, is only part of God's total work of love, people. That's only the beginning. This is bringing us out of a condition. But there is another wonderful part of salvation or redemption. Does God redeem for no purpose? Not at all. He redeems, He restores, He reconciles with a grand purpose in view. to demonstrate the riches of his love. And right here you have some of the riches of his love. What value is there in having children if there's no nourishment? What value is there of marriage if there is no love and there is no strengthening and encouraging of one another? Of what value is redemption if no life, no power, no purpose? One of the great wonders of God is not only our redemption, but what happens afterward. Not just our redemption, thank Him for that, but what happens afterward. The riches that await us. Here, priest forever, reign with Him. Not only saved, not only redeemed, but God made them into a kingdom of priests to the Father. And then He will do something more in the future. Look what He'll do in the future. Thou hast made them to be a kingdom of priests to our God. Note, to our God. Jesus Christ redeemed all to God. Now He makes us a kingdom to God. Man is taken from a lowly state in need of redemption, not only redeemed, but exalted to the high position of priests and rulers. That's something that God does. That is something phenomenal. This is what God can do. This is why we trust Him. Verse 11. And I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, and the living creatures, and the elders, and the number of them was myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands. If you want to have a better idea, thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. Point innumerable. That's the point with that. Now, rather awkward that John says, I looked, while talking about singing this new song. But remember, the book of Revelation is what? It is a book of visions. Don't forget that. It's a book of visions. Not so much interpretation, as we've seen. Just visions of what he saw. So, things he saw, but he heard great things. And the best way I know how to deal with that without getting involved in the Greek and all is that I think we would all do it. If we heard some singing, if you go somewhere at Christmas and you hear singing, you're going to look at to where it's coming from. And this is what is going on here. Another interesting point is the singular voice. The voice. While there are a multitude of voices singing, he uses the singular. Well, they sang as one, in unison, much like we do on Sunday morning. Just such a perfect oneness that you hear one voice. Well, I have difficulty with my hearing. It's a blessing sometimes not to always hear everything. So, but they sang, as it were, with one voice, even though there are multitudes. So that takes care of the singular there. And the wording of the numbers is innumerable. Now verse 12. Saying, that is saying in their singing, with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Now in verse 6, look back at verse 6, the imagery as if slain, standing as if slain. Look at verse 9, for thou wast slain. Now verse 10, was slain. This is a cross work of Christ. The reason for the word as standing as if slain, because he's seeing an imagery. He's seeing a figure. But this is dealing with the fact that he was slain. Just dealing with some technical things in that respect for you and with you. Okay. Worthy is the Lamb that it was slain to receive power, riches, wisdom, might, honor, and glory, and blessing. The perfect seven. Here we have the perfect seven. Okay, first, before we look at them, note an important verb. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive. Aorist active infinitive of the verb lambano. L-A-M-B-A-N-O, long O. Okay, why am I putting it on the board and drawing your attention to it? The meaning here is a little difficult here. It means that he is worthy to receive. Actually, he's worthy to take these praises. Look back with me at verse 7. Chapter 5, verse 7, with me a moment. And look at verse 7. And he came and he took it out of the hand of the one who sat on the throne. See that word he took? That's lambano. That's our same verb we have here, to receive. So it's translated to receive, to take. You have the same concept, but just with a little stronger idea. He is worthy to take so as to receive. It is not that God is not giving him these things and then angels are giving him these things. It's that he took them by virtue of what he has accomplished on the cross. He is worthy to take and receive the book. Now he is worthy to receive or take all of these praises that we're about to take a look at. Next, note that the first four are qualities he possesses, received by the Holy Spirit, whom God has anointed him. Isaiah chapter 11, 1 through 3. While the last three are praises due him. The last three are praises that are due him and given in some cases even by man. So, by creature. So, that's a good break for you in understanding these, the breakdown of these. Now, as we go through this great song of praise, what is interesting is the fact that right now, here on earth, to me this is the thing, right now here on earth, Jesus Christ is what? He is rejected. He is ridiculed. He is taken just to be a nice man. His name is a name of profanity in movies, in street. People use his name, Jesus, as profane rather than with the reverence that his name is due. But look what happens here. In heaven, the super creatures who know and understand all that is going on sing his praises. I love America, and I love the freedom we have in America, but we're using our freedom to destroy ourselves. There used to be a time in this country when, whether you liked him or not, there was a respect for the president. There were just certain things you didn't say, and you just, it wasn't like law or anything, obviously, because we don't do it. We don't have that respect anymore. It's just you respected his office. But we don't do that anymore. Americans really don't know how to respect very much at all, because we're too arrogant. It's all about me. Nobody's above me. Nobody's better than me. Nobody deserves more respect than me. All this about me. That's not the point in respecting an office. It's like in the military. You have an officer of an upper level. Maybe you have a general or a colonel, captain, and you show them all the proper. It's not that they themselves are better persons. It's that office. It's that's on their shoulder, that rank. And that's what you're respecting at all times. It's not like saying, well, he's better than me. No, he's not better than you. But that rank is better than your rank. And you respect it. But we have lost a lot of respect. But it just struck me when I was reading this and studying this, that in heaven hear all of the great praises, and yet on earth he is ridiculed and not very much is done. So, the sooner we get into our minds set as individuals, talk about us, on all that Jesus Christ is, people, the sooner we can get our minds set on him and have his perfect peace, especially in difficult times. that will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on him. What can I think about him? Well, here are seven things you can think about him, among a multitude of other things. Okay, let's quickly go through the perfect seven here. First of all, we have the word power. It's the word authority. It's the word authority to accomplish all that is necessary according to the plan of God, providing propitiation and reconciliation and the giving of eternal life. The word power here is the word dunamis, where we get the word dynamite. He is accredited with this in Scripture. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, please. We're talking about our Savior. We're talking about our friend. And I do hope that you get to know him as your friend, just as you have intimacy with God the Father, intimacy with the Son, and with the Holy Spirit. So let's talk about this person. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24. But to those who are the called, both Jew and Greeks, Christ, the power of God. That's our word, dunamis. The power of God and the wisdom of God. Note that word wisdom, Sophia. This is the same Greek word in our study in Revelation 5:11 for wisdom. It will come up to in a moment, but we won't turn here again, but just remember that in mind. Okay, let's go back to Revelation. Well, just stay where you are. Just stay right there a minute. The next one is riches. Next word is riches. Worthy thou to receive power and riches. All the riches that God has given to him, he is worthy to receive. While you're where you are, look at 2 Corinthians a moment. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. We studied this one not long ago. It'll draw a smile to your soul. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus, our Jesus Christ, that though he was rich as God, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you, through his power, through his poverty, that's when he became man, that's the Christmas story, you might become rich. All right, Jesus Christ is God, of course, the wealth of deity, but he set that aside to come and be man and die on a cross. But when he was resurrected, God the Father has poured on him all these riches back on him. Look at Ephesians chapter 3. I want you to be occupied with Christ tonight, the perfect seven of all that he is worthy of. Don't resent it. Thank him for it. Ephesians 3:8. To me, the very least of all saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ. And people, these riches are yours. These riches are ours. And we can possess them right now. Not in eternity only, but right now. Now the next word, and you don't need to turn there because we're going to do some other things. The next word is wisdom. The next word is wisdom. So he has power, riches, and wisdom. Now, we have noted how God the Father has set on the Son, anointed the Son with what? The Holy Spirit, Ephesians chapter 11. And one of the seven perfections of the Holy Spirit is wisdom. Power is another one. Taking and opening up of the books, people's going to require wisdom. And he has that wisdom to execute the plan of God. Requires wisdom. Can't execute the plan of God without wisdom. We noted that in 1 Corinthians 1:24 that we just read. So we have to have the wisdom, the Sophia. The next word is might. Now this is a different word than the first word of these perfect seven where we translated strength or power. This one refers to both mental strength as well as the physical. It refers to the inner fortitude that the Holy Spirit gives to accomplish all that must be done. The inner fortitude to lower himself. The inner fortitude to go to the cross, to be spit on, to be cursed, to be beaten, to be hung on a cross, and to bear the sins of the world. An inner fortitude. That's what this word is talking about. It's a ministry of the Holy Spirit, and you have it also. Look with me at Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. This is an interesting verse. Note that we have three different words for strength. We have be strong, strength, and might, all in one verse. The all-important principle of power, energy. You all know the importance of that. 21st century is all about energy and power, nuclear power. Just the power of buying gas. How much it costs and what kinds there are. So here we have the inner power that we all have. Note the exhortation. It begins in Ephesians 6:10. Finally. Not what is last and least important, but what is essential. That's what the word finally means here. Doesn't mean, well, I come down to the final end and find it. No, this means what is essential. This is the most fundamental thing that I want to leave you with, is what the ideal of final is. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Now, we're not here to study this passage, but so you can just put this down. This is referring to the endowing power of the Holy Spirit. This is how we do this. This is how you be strong in the Lord. It's not something you conjure up. Be strong in the Lord. In dunamao, comes from the root dunamis. And in His strength. Kratos, K-R-A-T-O-S. Kratos, the word, and in His strength, vigor. Of His might. Iskus, this is the word we have in 5:11. And refers to the might of the humanity of Christ, which the Holy Spirit gave Him to encounter and to do all the things that He did. So He had to have the might. He had to have the wisdom. He had to have the power. He had to have the physical power, authority, or rank. He had to have the inner strength and fortitude, and then He had to have the wisdom. Power without wisdom is a cruel master. Wisdom without power is a slave. So it's, you want to have both of those. You want to have both the wisdom and the power. You want to have the power and the wisdom and the authority. They all fit together what is going on here. The strength or the vigor to execute the plan of God. Don't think in terms of power as we think of it to lift things. To lift more than someone else. But this is the power that we all have to have inside of our souls. This is a spiritual power. Let me tell you how the simplicity of it. Two people can give some money to the church or anywhere. But one is doing it in power. One is doing it out of power. So it isn't like takes more strength. It doesn't take any more strength to lay a $100 bill than it does a $10 bill. The power comes where? The power comes in the soul, the power of the Holy Spirit. And the same thing in regard to witnessing, to helping one another, to encouraging. You encourage someone, help one another, singing, praying. People, it doesn't require, we're not talking about physical power. When we talk about the empowering ministry of the Holy Spirit, unbelievers, believers out in the flesh can do all these things. Believers in the flesh can give. Believers in the flesh can encourage. Believers in the flesh can pray. Believers in the flesh can sing. Believers in the flesh and unbelievers can do all these things. We need power to make it spiritual dynamics. That's what's being talked about here. And that's what Jesus Christ has. And that's what is given to us. All of the things that we do demand power, strength. not human strength, not human IQ, but the power and the wisdom that the Holy Spirit gives. Like when we open these books, open our Bibles, requires His strength, His power, His wisdom. Okay, the next one in the list in Revelation chapter 5 is honor. Honor. Honor upon this one. God the Father will honor this one with great eternal blessings. Look with me, if you will, at Hebrews now. Let's look at Hebrews. I'm going to start studying. We're going to do Romans, but boy, I would really like to do Hebrews too. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. See, I have to be careful saying things like I just said. I want to do Hebrews 2. That's when James says, well, you could do, if you did one chapter a night or one book a night, all of this kind of thing, you could get it all done. I don't think so. Okay, Hebrews chapter 2. Let's read together verse 9. But we do see Him who has been made for a little while, this is referring to Jesus Christ, lower than the angels. And people, please don't just reread that. This takes strength. This takes inner fortitude to become lower than that which you're not. You are above angels, but you become lower than angels. How can you do that and have the right attitude in the power of the Holy Spirit? Lower than the angels, Jesus, because of the suffering of death, now look, crowned with glory and honor. There's our word. Crowned with glory and honor, that by the grace of God, He might taste death for everyone. That's what He did for us. The sixth in our list of the perfect seven that Jesus Christ is worthy to receive is glory. Glory that belongs to God, now given to the member of the human race. Our representative, Jesus Christ, the God-man. We just read glory in Hebrews 2:9. Look with me now, if you will, write down and then let's look together at John 1:14. John 1:14, the Gospel of John. John 1:14. I have a very close friend that is working her way through the first chapter of John and having a struggle and a lot of fun. Okay, John 1:14. And the Word, okay, now in the study of the concept, because of the next phrase, we know what he's talking about. And the Word. See, sometimes the Word refers to the truth of the gospel. But here we know what the Word is because it became flesh. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory. Glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. A beautiful statement in regard to the person of Jesus Christ. Okay, let's go back to Revelation 5. We're ready to go back there now. And the last in verse 12 says, blessing. Blessing or praise. The worship of acknowledgement of all that He has accomplished. This praise comes from all the creatures, the super creatures of angels and the lower creature of mankind. All praise. Okay, let's go to verse 13. We're going to make it. Verse 13. In fact, you might get out early. Verse 13. I should have brought chapter 6. Okay. I didn't think I'd get this far, but we'll see. And every created thing, verse 13, and every created thing which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all things in them, I heard saying, to Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever. John heard every creature, every created being sing praises. Now note here to both God the Father and God the Son, both to the one who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Let's take a look. And every created thing which is in heaven. Let's note the categories that he does mention here. Every category of angelic realm, all the supernatural creatures. Angels are of different ranks. 6 wings, 4 wings, 2 wings. Haven't read anywhere that there are any wingless angels. But there are different ranks. But every category of angelic realm, all supernatural creatures. We live in a time when some people believe in UFOs. Well, people, let me tell you about UFOs. Whatever is truth, wherever truth lies in the realm of UFOs, I want you to know this. They will sing praises to our God. Whatever and whoever they are, don't fear them. Don't worry about it. They're going to sing praises to our God. Whatever is going on, if anything is going on. Okay. Where did that come from? Well, while I was working that night, one of the nights I was working, they had a special on UFOs on TV. And so I sat and watched it for an hour. And so that just came through here. That whatever, if somebody's out there listening to a disc or this, and you believe in UFOs, just know one thing. They're going to worship our God. Okay. And on earth, all members of the human race, all races, both sexes, believers, unbelievers, all. And under the earth, all those who have died from Adam to the end of time. All who have died. But note what is interesting here. He pulls a separate category out for us. And under and on the sea. Well, he's pulling in here what category? All of the satanic forces, the angels that followed Satan, all of the demonic, the seven-headed dragon, and all those that followed him, the helpers of Rahab that we studied in Job. So all the super creatures who chose against God to follow Lucifer in his rebellion, they're going to sing praises to our God. It's a remarkable thing John saw. A lot of people don't like this. They want to isolate. No, it doesn't mean unbelievers, and it doesn't mean the demons, and it doesn't mean this. People, to me it does, and I rejoice at that. I rejoice that all will one day see and know who he is. I rejoice. To me this is not offensive at all. This is the wonders of our God. Okay, I heard saying to him, all right, now all those categories, he heard what? What did he hear? All those categories. I heard saying to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. In the previous verse, the words sung were of the Lamb who was worthy to take the book from the hand of him who sits on the throne, to open the book, and he's worthy to receive all those the perfect seven praises. This one, though, is different. This is for the Lamb and the one sitting on the throne, or the one sitting on the throne and to the Lamb. They're together, the Father and the Son. They're together. So this one combines them both. They are linked together in this verse of praise. And note the category. Not attributes. No attributes here. Praise. Why they are praiseworthy. The Father praiseworthy of the same praiseworthiness of the Son. The Son is the same praiseworthy of the Father. Remember the Son here pictured as standing as though a lamb slain. Jesus Christ in resurrection form. And in verse 12, the perfect seven are under one article. If you look back, let me explain what I'm showing you here. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive the power and riches. We had the article one time, and as at the beginning. But each one are separated by the chi. It's translated and, separating each one to be studied uniquely. And riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. Now, in this list, the short list in verse 13, they're not made distinction by the word and, but by the definite article. The definite article is with each one of these. Be the blessing and the honor and the glory and the dominion forever and ever. So, distincting, making them each distinct in their own different way. Okay, verse 14. And the four living creatures kept saying, Amen. Now, that is the four Zoe are in full agreement with all the praise of all the creation that they themselves have been in the singing. Amen is from the Hebrew, meaning surely, or this is trustworthy, so be it. Different nuances like that is what the Amen means. And the elders, making a distinction between the category of the living creatures, the Zoe, and the elders, fell down and worshiped. In other words, fell down in their singing and worshiping God the Father and the Son. Now, this brings us to chapter 6. I cannot let you go this early. I'll break out into shakes. Okay. Chapter 6. The book is given to Jesus Christ. He's going to open the book now. In chapter 6, we have the opening of the book. And we have the first seal. I'm not going to spend a great deal of time in chapter 6 again, but we're just going to go through it, and so you'll have an understanding of it. But chapter 6, just remember, we have the opening of the book and the first seal. The first seal of the seven-sealed book is now going to be open, and that is going to just set everything into operation for the tribulation and the millennium. And that's where we'll begin next Tuesday evening. Mark today well. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you for the God you are. Father, I wish we had a choir of thousands that we could sing your praises. But we sing them in our souls. For you and the Son, so worthy, when we're in the power of the Spirit, to be praised and to be worshipped. All these wonderful things, the perfect seven declared of your Son, the four things listed of you and your Son, they are in our souls also. And Heavenly Father, we recognize these things about you and your Son. Sometimes we will sin. Sometimes we will forget these things and allow ourselves to go into the flesh. But like your servant David, Father, this truth does not leave us of your worthiness. And it's that that draws us back. It's the understanding of all that you are and your love that draws us quickly back. We praise you, Father, in your Son's precious name. Amen.